Well, turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We'll start around verse 8. I got a little carried away with singing this morning, and when I sing a little too loud, the worship team gets mad, and then my voice goes out. So bear with me this morning. Well, there's a very popular Christmas song, and I'm sure that it's been used as leverage by many a parent. Can you think of what the song is? And because why? You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, Jess. So be good for goodness sake. Be good for goodness sake. Yeah, right. Goodness for goodness sake. We were good to be able to get the present we asked for, right? But you know, we sing that song and we laugh about it. And again, some parents and maybe some of us here are guilty of using that to manipulate our children's behavior, right? No? Remember, Santa's going to bring you. Well, unfortunately, friends, we do that in Christianity too, don't we? We have our own ways of trying to get good behavior out of people. We put together a list of do's and don'ts, and we shade them with fear. We use scripture to threaten our children and others. We've used the phrase like turn or burn, right? To scare people into heaven. But you know what we've done? Inadvertently, we have caused people to fear hell more than they love God. We try to fear people, scare people into behaving to do right. We try to manipulate behavior. We try to cause people to do what's right. And we fail in doing what the gospel is all about. A Christian artist wrote, "Christianity's first call is not behave, but behold." And too often we in Christianity, in church leadership and teachers and others alike, parents, we seek to cause people to want we force them to behave before they've even beheld the Savior. We try to manipulate the world's behavior by boycotting those companies that don't say Merry Christmas, but say Happy Holidays. We try to manipulate our country through political action, through laws and rules and regulations. And I know I've been guilty of this do's and don't list, and I know I've been guilty of some of these things myself. But friends, have we beheld the Savior? Have we contemplated the Savior? The idea here in the scriptures about behold is to be aware of, to consider, to have knowledge of, to look on, to perceive, to be sure, to understand. And in the story, the angel came and he says, "Behold, for today," that is a command to behold. And friends, we're so busy trying to make sure people behave. We're making sure that people fall right in order with the way I do it, the way I think it should be done. And friends, the gospel is here to set free the captives. And yet we put our own shackles on, the Christian shackles of, you know, the way you dress, the way you look, where you go, who you hang out with, what you do, what you don't do, how involved or how much you spend or how much you don't spend, how much you watch this and how much you do that. Now, friends, don't get me wrong. We have responsibilities to the gospel. We have responsibilities to follow in godly, righteous behavior. And yet, though, friends, we sometimes hinder growth. And so what I just simply wanted to do this morning is I wanted us to behold the message of Christmas. I wanted us to consider this, five things here about the Christmas message and how they might apply to us and how we might behold, how we might stop, how we might look. Now, I know many of you that drive. Have you ever sat in the passenger seat and as you're going down a very familiar road, you'll look and say, "Hey, I never noticed that. Hey, wow, when did they paint that house? Or where did that building come from?" Friends, sometimes we're moving just a little too fast. And sometimes we're moving a little too fast through Scripture or through the spiritual growth or from one activity to another activity. One of the things that, and I'm sure it may be a frustration to some of you, we try not to do too many activities at church. We try not to do too many special events. Because we want you not to be here Monday through Sunday. We don't want you here in the building every day. We want you out there doing life with your family, with your neighbors, being a witness, letting your light shine, letting people behold the change that has happened in you so that they might ask the question. They might ask you to give a reason for the hope that is within you. Well, we looked this morning at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. We've covered this passage over several times throughout my ministry as a pastor over the last, 25 years? And it's the same story, but a profound story. A story I'm afraid we've become way too familiar with, that we say, yeah, I know, yeah, that's right. But I just kind of want us to take a fresh look today at this message. Well, the first point is this, that the message of Christmas is for all people. The message of Christmas is for all people. He says in verse 8, "In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened." Have you ever stopped to think, why the shepherds? Why the shepherds? Here Jesus is born in a small town named... Do you know the significance of Bethlehem? Well, King David was born there. Do you know that's where Boaz married Ruth? And Boaz was the kinsman redeemer, the one who redeemed Ruth, who was a type, and this is a type of Jesus, that Jesus came to redeem us. There's significance there in Bethlehem. It's not some small town. But it has significance as you read through the Scripture. That's where Rachel was buried. Rachel is Jacob's wife. So there's significance in this small town. But why the shepherds? Why the shepherds? Do you know that the shepherds were outcasts from the Jewish system? Because of their profession of caring for sheep and the dirtiness that comes along with walking behind them and being a part of that, of smelling like sheep, they were ceremonially unclean. They were not allowed just to come to the temple and walk in. They had to wash and they had to go through this ritual in order to be accepted and received into the temple. And so for me, Jesus is saying, I believe God is telling us, the message is for all people. I'm picking these outcasts to be the first to hear it. We know that Mary and Joseph were there. We know that the baby Jesus was there, but the first humans, not even the religious leaders realized what was going on that night. What was going on that night? The shepherds were caring for their sheep. It was like any other night, or was it? What did the shepherds talk about? Did they talk about football and how the Niners blew it again? Were they talking about their favorite TV show? Nah. Shopping? No way. Not for men of that day. Maybe their family? Possibly God. And then all of a sudden this angel appears. Now these men who had faced wild animals who would attack the sheep, they were tough men. But this was definitely out of the ordinary. So much so they were frightened. What could this be? What could this mean to these men? You know, have you ever stopped to think about the Magi? The wise men? Or as one kid said, the wise guys? What do they have to do with the story? Now, you know that the wise men came about 2 years later, right? A year and a half later. They didn't show up that same day. I saw a YouTube video, a short one. And Carlos on the video was talking about how people get upset about putting Jesus out on the manger scene too soon. Well, Jesus didn't appear until that night. Why are you putting him out early? In fact, that's what one of my son's friends said when they stole the baby Jesus from our nativity scene. Well, that's what you get for putting him out early. You shouldn't put him out till Christmas Eve. Well, do you realize that Mary and Joseph weren't in the stable until that night? And yet, you see Mary and Joseph in the stable. Do you realize that the wise men didn't show up for a year, year and a half after? Why the wise men? What part? I mean, they show up and then they're gone. We don't hear about them. We know very little about them at all. I know in tradition and in movies, they're given names and I can't even recall their names and we don't need their names. And we assume that there's how many wise men? Three, because there were three gifts. We don't know. All we know is these were magi who came from the east. Somehow the message got to them. Did God divinely interrupt them in a dream? Had they heard from one of the prophets that the word had gotten out to where they were? We don't know. We believe they were non-Jewish people. And their presence to come to see the baby Jesus was fulfillment of prophecy in that God had told Abraham in Genesis 22 verse 18 that all the nations of the world will be blessed through you. So with the Magi there, it was the nations had come to the Savior. The nations were drawn, were called to the Savior. And who are the nations? Us, the Gentiles. But you know that also, the Savior was prophesied even before there was a Jewish nation? Genesis 3:15. Right after Adam and Eve were confronted by God because of their sin, and He declared a judgment on them and judgment on the snake or the devil, Lucifer, that He had promised a Savior, a Deliverer that time. So what we see here in this small little town, and was probably not a traditional wood stable, but probably a cave that the animals were kept in for protection, was the Savior who was drawing all people to Himself. So as we see the Christmas story, friends, the Christmas story is really about all people. The message is for all people. Now let's consider all people. What does all people mean? Well, through our church here, we support missionaries in different parts of the world with an effort to get the gospel message out. But you know what? It's not sufficient enough for us to give money, to give to missions, to give to the missionaries, to reach those people. It is important for us to reach the people that we can reach. Who are you responsible to reach? Well, if you're a parent, you have to reach your children. If you have neighbors, you have a responsibility to do what? To reach your neighbors. If you go to work, you have a responsibility to help reach your co-workers. See, it's very easy for us to pick and choose who we will talk to. But he says here, the message is for all people. Here are the shepherds, the outcasts of society. The message was for them. Here the Gentiles came. The message was for them. Friends, the gospel message, the Christmas message, is for all people. And we have a responsibility to share His story with everyone. The homeboy down the street, do they sell punk rockers? Or am I dating myself? Whatever the group is that you're not like, that you're afraid of, or you don't like, even those people we need to reach. We need to pray for. We need to minister to. Even the downcast, the out and outs. My friend's wife would go with another lady from her church down onto Sunset Boulevard and minister to the female prostitutes down there. Give them a little goodie bag of toiletries with the gospel and share the gospel with them. What a ministry, huh? What a ministry. We have a growing number of homeless here in the city. What are we doing to reach them? Point number two, the second thought here about the message of Christmas. that the message of Christmas is a simple message. Really is a simple message, right? Look at verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Again, an emphasis on all the people. "For this is a message of good news and great joy. For today in the city of David there was born in for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now, stop and think about this. The shepherds weren't what you would call learned men, and they weren't students of theology. They were not students in most areas. They were hardworking, blue-collar men who were out there doing their job, taking care of sheep, protecting them, willing to die for them. Yet, they understood the message. They understood the message simple and clear and plain. And you know what? Unfortunately, the church, we are guilty of complicating the message. It's really a simple message that a holy God came out of heaven, became flesh, dwelt among us, died in my place, paid my sin debt, that I would be forgiven, and that He rose from the dead, that I might have everlasting life. And yet we complicate that simple, simple message. It's a message even the kids, children can understand. They understood the message. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." How simpler than that can you get? Friends, the Christmas message is really a simple message. A message we need to stop complicating. We need to keep it simple. We must be able to share it so a child can understand it. Wow. Can you share the gospel so a child can understand it? And you know what? It's not as hard as you think. Because they don't have all those criticisms. They're not tarnished with cynicism. But friends, if you could talk to them and they can understand what you're telling them. How clear is that message today in the midst of all the Christmas clutter? How clear is that message in all the Christmas clutter of your life? What are most of you going to be doing this week? Supposedly this weekend, they were hoping this weekend would be the biggest in sales. I am not against shopping. I love it, the fact that my wife doesn't like shopping. We walk into a mall, we go straight to the store she wants to go to, get the exact thing she wants, and we're out the door. I'm the one who would like to walk around a little bit more, especially in the food court area. There's nothing wrong with shopping, and some of you do it well. But the clutter. The third thought here is that the message of Christmas is worthy of the highest praise. And suddenly, verse 13, there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." Now stop and think about this for a moment. How many angels needed to come to give the message? How many angels appeared to Joseph? How many angels appeared to Mary? How many angels needed to appear? Obviously, one angel had a major effect on them, right? He says that the angel appeared and these tough, manly men were frightened. Remember when David dealt with Goliath? And he says, "Oh, this will just be like the bears and the lions and tigers and the snakes, oh my, that chased me as I was protecting the sheep." Right? David, as a young boy, had faced these wild animals with a slingshot. And he had no fear over this giant, this 9-foot guy. And yet here, these shepherds were frightened with the appearance of an angel. They didn't need any more angels. But God likes to overdo things, doesn't He? Stop and think about this. Our universe, right? Did we need all those other stars and planets and suns and moons for us to have life here on this earth? We have our solar system with whichever number of planets, because they said they discontinued one of the planets. It's not really a planet anymore. But we have a sun, we have our moon, we have our solar system. We didn't need all this other stuff, but all this other stuff does what? What does it say in the Psalms? That the heavens what? Declare His glory. There is nothing that compares to our God, right? And here at the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, at the declaration of the angels, of God's message to the shepherds, God overdoes it by bringing a multitude of angels to sing. And friends, because that message deserves our highest praise, that God sent an angelic choir to come and sing out loud. Now, I don't know the answer to this, but with all those angels singing, what were the neighbors? Right? I mean, 4 o'clock this morning, a guy drove up in his car, parked in front of the house, and the music was blaring, woke Sarah wide awake. I never heard it. Maybe I wouldn't have heard the angels either. I don't know. Did the angels sing out loud so that everybody can hear? Or was there... Either way, we know that a heavenly choir showed up to declare His praise. Now stop and think about that in our life. How excited do we get about God? The name Emmanuel, you know what that means? God with us. That God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. That is the God that we worship. That is the Lord Jesus Christ who came. But Pastor, we can't see His body. But you know what? We have eyewitness accounts. We know this happened. You know the life of our Lord Jesus Christ has historically been proven by secular historians. It's not a guess. It's not a, maybe He exists. No. The thing they argue with is His deity, not His existence. They believe that Jesus existed, but they don't believe He's God. But friend, here this angelic host came down. Psalm 150, the last verse of the Psalm, verse 6 reads, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Do you have breath? Stop and... I heard one pastor, and I think I shared it with you. What if it would be that everybody that praises the Lord has breath? How many of us would make it? Now, I know sometimes we take it to the extreme, and I know brothers and sisters in the Lord, I'm not here to mock you or make fun of you, but it's not about always inserting praise the Lord in every sentence. Well, I'm going to church, praise the Lord. I'm going to the market, praise the Lord. Oh, I'm going to the bathroom, praise the Lord. No. One of my cousins, she's passed now in Albuquerque. I think I shared with you, her answering machine was, "Praise the Lord, I'm not here to take your call." Well, you really don't want to... But in all reality, that's not what she was saying. She says, "Praise the Lord, period, exclamation point, space. I'm not home right now. Would you leave a message?" But it kind of sounded like, "Praise the Lord, I'm not here to answer your call." Now, I think we need to say "Praise the Lord" more often for some of us. And I think we have to have an attitude of praise. And I think an attitude of praise is a joyful contentment that God has me where He has me. In your bulletin, there's a quote on the front and the bottom left. This is Charles Spurgeon, probably the greatest preacher apart from Jesus Christ and Paul. "Had any other condition been better for you than the one you are in, divine love would have put you there." Do you believe that? And so we need to do what? Praise the Lord. We need to be grateful that God has His hands on us. And that we are in the palm of the Father's hands. And what does it say? No one can snatch us out of there. I remember in the old days, they used to put a quarter. You'd probably have to put a $5 bill now and see if you could snatch it out. As kids, you're trying to open your dad's hand or your uncle's hand and whatever. You could never do it. And eventually you get old enough where you become a little slick in how you get it out of there. But nothing is going to snatch you out of the Father's hand. Friends, doesn't that deserve our highest praise? And one of the greatest praises that we can give God is living a life of righteousness and holiness in gratitude for all that He's done for us, right? That's the greatest testimony of praise. Let me say something else. I know for some of you, you don't like to sing because you don't like the way you sing. Well, we might not like the way you sing either, but it doesn't matter. Because you're not singing to me, you're not singing to anybody else, you're singing to God. I miss my partner up here, Dwayne, since he moved. We were definitely guaranteed never to be in the right key at the right time, at the same time. But you know what? That's not what it's about. It's about giving our life as a praise, as a worship, as a gift to our God. So the Christmas message deserves our highest praise. Because God sure did, right? He announced it, right? You get excited, right? When you have a baby, how many babies do we have in the church now? Mom and dad, excited, right? When you're not in church, you give cigars. When you're in church, you give sea suckers or announcements. But there's an excitement, right? Baby, new life. Carries on the family tradition, the family line, maybe the family name. But friends, here we have the Almighty God come as a baby, that we might behold His glory. That, my friends, is why we sing Joy to the World. The Savior's come. The fourth thought here is the message of Christmas calls us to come as we are. The message of Christmas calls us to come as we are. Look at verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go where? Straight to Bethlehem then, and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. Now friends, they would not have been allowed into the temple because they were ceremonially unclean. Some of us would have said, dude, go take a shower. But friends, they heard the message, behold, today a child has been born. They contemplated, they beheld that message, and they ran. They ran straight there. Obviously, they left somebody behind to take care of the sheep. They got somebody to watch the sheep, because the shepherd never leaves the sheep unprotected. But they went straight there. And they went in a hurry. Now, when God gives us a command, do we go straight there? Do we go in a hurry to obey? Why not? It's a simple message. It's worthy of our highest praise. And here, remember the guys who made excuses? Oh, I can't go to the banquet because I just bought a piece of property. I got to go check it out. Oh, I just bought some cattle. I need to go check it out. Oh, I just got married. I can't go. Jesus said, put your hands to the plow and don't look back. Friends, come as you are. Come as you are. Come right now is what He's saying. And that's exactly what the shepherds did. I've heard and I've had people tell me, I gotta change a few things before I start going to church. No. Because ultimately, you can't change them in a lasting way apart from the power of God in you. But I gotta clean up a little. No. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Coming to and receiving acceptance from the Lord is a step of faith, my friends. And my friends, God gives us that faith to take that step. If we truly believe that the Christmas message calls us to come as we are, we need to stop taking detours and stop making excuses and go straight to the Lord with everything. Right? Because that's what He says. Come to me. Behold. Enjoy. Recognize. The fifth thought here is that the message of Christmas cannot be kept quiet. Nor should it be kept quiet. Look at verse 18. All who heard it... Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 17, I didn't read that. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. About what the angels had declared to them. All who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they heard and seen, just as they had been told. Mary has confirmation from these shepherds when they tell her and Joseph what the angels told them. There's confirmation here. And this is a message we can't keep quiet. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God. Do you see a transfer here now? There's a transfer here. That the angelic messenger had come and had given them a message, and now they took that message upon themselves, and now they were responsible for sharing that message. That same transfer has happened to us, friends. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of the Savior, you have been authorized as a messenger of God to sing His praise, to share the gospel, to take this Christmas message to others. And you know what? We see that the shepherds were not educated in theology. They were not the cleanest, brightest looking person. Nonetheless, God authorized them, God empowered them now to be the messengers. Because we don't hear from the angels again. The angels didn't follow the shepherds around as a backup choir, as the shepherds sang the message. No. God had empowered the shepherds to take the message of the Savior and to communicate it to others. But Pastor, I don't speak well. All right. Go talk to Moses about that one, okay? He made his excuses. Friends, can you share one thing with one person? What did the blind man say when they questioned him about who Jesus was? What did he say? This one thing I know. Once I was blind, and now I see. Once I felt guilty, and now I've been set free. Once my life was on the wrong path, and now I'm working my salvation out with fear and trembling. Once I was an abuser, and I am no longer that. I have been forgiven, I have been released, I have been made brand new. Why? Because I have repented of my sins, and my Almighty God has shown His favor upon me. What do you have to be grateful for? Can't you share that with somebody? One of the powers, I think, and I really hope that this Children's Hunger Fund is going to help us, is going to empower us to go and reach one family at a time. Because friends, we have a community that needs to be reached. We have people who need Jesus Christ. And I pray that not only that, what we do with the Women's Pregnancy Care Clinic, what we do with Third Step, and with whatever else we're doing here as a ministry, as you as individuals, that we are here empowering you to take, or God has empowered you, we are helping equip you to take that message to the ends of the earth. How do you know if you're called to missions? Maybe God wants to send you somewhere. And it might very well be across the street. Friends, the message of the God of Christmas cannot, must not be kept quiet. Quick review. The message of Christmas is for all people. The message of Christmas is a simple message. The message of Christmas is worthy of the highest praise. The message of Christmas calls us to come as we are. The message of Christmas cannot be kept quiet. Write down 5 names of people you will share the true meaning of Christmas with. 5 names. And do it. How many of you have seen the Hallelujah Man? The one that runs up and down Woody Boulevard. No. He's not afraid to be out loud. Because he loves Jesus. You don't have to be as loud as he is. But you can say something. And you're compelled to say something. You're required to say something. 1, thank you, Lord. 2, hey, do you know the Savior? What do you think he says here? It's not because Janice is quiet, although she is quiet, right? We're going to embarrass her the heck out of her right now, but I had my concerns about Jose when I first met him, but he's in now. He's all the way in. And Janice is a very, very quiet person. Right, Sabrina? Sabrina's your other quiet sister. But Jose is here because a quiet person shared an important message with someone she cared for. If Janice can share that message with Jose, who Jose is not a quiet person, she can share it with him, and he saw something in her that was different. Friends, those of you who are quiet can share it with someone else that you care for, that they too might come and know the Savior. Father, we thank you for the many witnesses that have gone before us. Thank you for those who witnessed to me that special Christmas message, God with us, Emmanuel. Thank you for the many who are faithfully out there sharing the gospel. Stir us all, Father, to make a greater effort in 2015 to be a witness of your glory. We thank you now and we praise you for the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name.